What's up? This is Keith.
Hey, this is Ari.
What's up, y'all? This is Kim.
And this is Relationship X Religion Podcast.
So, y'all, we doing something different this season. As you see, we have some guests with us. We've all actually known this couple for a little while now. This is Will and DeAndrea Henry, and I will allow them to introduce themselves.
You want me to talk about
you? You can go first.
All right. Please go. All right. Everyone. So this is my lovely wife, DeAndrea Henry. We met literally about 5 years ago. Yeah. And we've been married for 1 year and 8 months. We're parents of four grown kids.
Young adults.
DeAndrea has a background in finance, a phenomenal background in finance. She's doing some amazing things. She owns a financial company, financial consulting company. I'll allow her to speak on that whenever you guys allow, but we're just doing some amazing things for the kingdom. I'm happy to have her by my side, not behind me. Definitely not anything to be concerned about. I love this woman. She's the light of my life, and we're making it happen.
You better big her up.
That was one of the best introductions I've heard.
Right, you better big her up.
In his ministerial voice.
Right. Hello, everyone. DeAndrea and my awesome husband here is Will Henry. You know, we met, like you said, years ago, and it's just wonderful how God kind of brought things back full circle.
Amen.
Will is such an awesome man. You know, he's the visionary of our family. He has been in the field of IT for years. But
that's a long time. Though.
Yeah, long time. but what people don't know about Will is Will has an awesome, brilliant mind when it comes to investing and finance and about how to lead a family and lead it righteously and God-led. And he's an awesome husband, a great father. He's my best friend. And, you know, initially, I think I was approached to do this by myself, but I wanted to do this with Will. We have great, great conversations, and he challenges me. And I thought he would be a great addition to this podcast today. So we're excited.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, we're excited too. We're glad you guys were able to come on. And we really thank you guys that you guys took time out your Saturday to spend it with us today.
Is it worth saying one more thing?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so Relationship X Religion, Will and DeAndrea Henry, the thoughts that we express are our own and not that of any other institution, congregation, religious or non-religious. So please take that disclaimer to heart as we move forward. Thank you very much.
Yeah, piggyback off of that for us.
Right, I love all of that.
And he's a comedian, by the way, so up and coming.
Absolutely.
We look forward to it.
They listen to me, they can listen to him.
Awesome.
Before we get started, tell us a little about your business, Didi. I know I've used your services and I definitely appreciate it. You helped me out a lot, taught me a lot of different things that I did not know, especially coming into the business world being new. I definitely appreciated your help, but definitely, you know, go ahead and plug your business.
All right. So my consulting company is called Elite Consulting. We are I'm a financial coach. I have my Dave Ramsey Financial Coach Master certification, and we provide financial coaching. We provide business consultation, tax advice, and we're just here to help people with their finances to create better financial habits. Budgeting, if they need any assistance with budgeting, again, taxes, finances, a little bit of investing. I know enough to be dangerous. That's where I look to my husband. But we're here to be a blessing to others. I definitely want to use my gift, my talent that God has given me, my education to help others. I'm not here to rob anyone. I'm here to help them because, you know, I've been truly blessed and I want to be a blessing to others. So that's what Elite is all about, is helping people create better financial habits to be debt-free and to live, lead, and love like Christ. That's awesome. That's Elite.
It's pretty good.
Love it.
Amen.
That basically goes back to like the prior episodes when I told people like, yeah, get, like, you understand your gift when you know it's not really for the money.
Right.
It's
yeah.
for the end game of actually helping somebody else. You know what I mean? Like,
it is.
That's how you know you're gonna actually thrive in what you do, because it's not for you. yeah, for everybody else. So I love it.
Thank you.
Yes, definitely. And I'll definitely put her link to her website in the description of the episode so you guys can check it out. But with that being said, let's go ahead and get into this episode. So this episode, we're talking about tithing. So if anybody hears that word, they get a little tight hand, you know, sometimes they be like, all right, now, you know, I'm not about to take my money and do whatever you want to do with it. But what we want people to understand is, what is tithing and how important that is to your relationship with God? You know, some people think, you know, tithing is, you know, connected to, you know, the church taking your money, or, you know, the church is doing things outside of what they say they're supposed to do with the money. But we want people to understand and really get an understanding of what it means to tithe, and also offerings as well, so that they know going forward what it really means. So with that being said, what is tithing?
So tithing is very simple. It means a tenth. Tithing is, you know, back in the, it's under the law of Moses. It started out in the Old Testament. Tithing came about when, you know, God provided a harvest to the Israelites, and the Israelites, you know, they wanted to give their tenth. And to be honest with you, if you do some history, they gave more than a tenth.
Right.
They gave about 20% of their first fruits, of their first harvest, which meant they knew and understood and were happy about God providing a harvest. So what could they give back to God? And so they gave 10% of their first fruits. And so it just means a 10. Over the years, it has been given a bad connotation, a negative connotation in the church, because, you know, everything in the Bible is, you know, what the Bible says is what it says, right? We're the ones that make it difficult. And it can be, you know, some people like to interpret their own way, in whatever season that they're in, it may change, but the Bible and what it says is true. And so it just means a tenth of your first fruit.
And that's the thing I want to stress, first fruits. This goes back, this is Abel, a first fruit, how one gift was more pleasing in God's sight than the other. And it's because one gave his first fruits. Yeah. That's the first, before you pay any bill, before you put away for a rainy day, before you do any of that, give God his tenth, allow him to work that 90 for your benefit. And it gets back into Malachi as he talks about bringing the tithe into a storehouse.
Yeah.
And that's key. And hopefully you'll allow me to elaborate on that if now's not the right time.
Go ahead.
But I want to mention one thing before you go there.
Yes.
Sorry, no. And oftentimes, as we talk about first fruits, I want to make sure that we're clear, especially working professionals and people with careers and all types of jobs and things like that. It means you tithe off of your gross, not your net. And I think I just want to get that out of the way first. You know, first fruit is your gross. It's before taxes. And so I just want to make that clarification.
That's very important.
Very important.
Yeah. Cause I honestly, y'all know I'm new to this church thing, period. So for when they were saying tithing, I'm like, hold on. Like, you mean like the big money? Like, hold on. So what I would do is I'm like, nah, and growing up, you typically gave, like, as a kid, your parents would give you $2 or something to put in there.
Right.
And so as an adult, I was like, oh yeah, y'all get like $10 here. And so I thought that was good. You know what I'm saying? I was just like, all right, well, I'm just giving this.
Right.
And then it was just that once you grow into like y'all explaining it, and you just saying it's like you're before your net, you know what I'm saying? Like before that. So understand what you actually giving.
And growing up, you know, I'm a preacher's kid, right? So I've tithed all my life. But I didn't, you know, growing up before, you know, I knew exactly what it was. I struggled with it as a young adult because, you know, yes, you know, our parents gave us our money. We put the money in the offering pan, give 10% of that. But when I got my first job, you know, I'm starting to pay bills. I have rent to pay. You know, I'm like, oh, I need to pay my bills. I also don't get this 10% this month. Let's keep it real, you know, right?
Yeah.
And so I struggled.
You know,
and
so, God.
Yeah, like, okay, God, I know you gave it to me, but I know you want me to stay in this house and keep a roof over my head. Right, so, right. You know, I need to pay my bills. And I struggled with it for years. But it was only until I had a great conversation with my parents, and my mom said, we were waiting on you to have this conversation. But she was like, you know what? It's growth. It's, you know how you have, you grow in Christ, you grow mm-hmm. with the principles and with the things that you learn in the Bible. It's a growth, it's a maturity walk with God. And it's a faith walk, right?
Yeah.
And you know, you want to be a cheerful giver. You know, if you give begrudgingly, he doesn't want it. He wants you to give out of goodness of your heart because it's about the heart. And so my mom was like, you know what? Give a percentage until you work your way up to the 10. Mm-hmm. And so I would start off
with 10%.
I would start off at 5%. And the 10% was the goal, right? Because that's the principle. That's of tithing, the 10%. And so that's what I did. And for years I'm there, you know, for years I'm like, oh, it comes out automatically. And that's because of my heart. You know, tithing is about, it's really about what it does for you.
Yeah.
Right. It's not about, oh, I'm giving to the church, I don't know what they're doing with it. No, it's about the blessings that it brings you.
Yeah. That's a good point. Bringing up, you know, people think it's about, you know, what they're taking from me.
Right.
And not necessarily about your heart posture towards God.
Exactly.
And because of that, a lot of people have closed hands and they're focused on what the church is doing versus what the process and the action of, you know, being open to what God can do for you through your giving.
Exactly.
And that's a good segue into one of the, you know, I always think about what are the things that hinders a person from tithing. And those things are big. Number one is faith. I think we could all agree that it's faith. The second thing is, Marquise, what you went through and even I went through as an adult is a lack of understanding. Not understanding what the tithe is. Look, I'm giving you this $20, man. And the third thing is like trust. You know, and unfortunately, I'm just going to go here. Unfortunately, there are some times when there are sketchy things that you may hear about that go on in the church, you know, and it makes you hard to give. Look, I'm giving, if this is what I'm going to give, and this is what I consider that storehouse, if I'm looking to the church to deliver the missions to the community, and you're disruptive with that giving, or you're tight-fisted with the giving, it seems to trickle down. So why should I invest my heart? Why should I? And it's really a testament of, do I trust man or do I trust God? That's what it boils down to. And if you can figure out how to trust God with your tithe, listen, he'll strike down, you know, paralyze the hand of man if he's not doing it, as long as you give it in faith. So, and with trust. So those things, and as we are adults, those things, they still plague us. I'm not going to lie. I'm not delivered from it. I'll be honest with you, but I pray that when I do give, and one of the reasons why I even had to make some changes in my life is because I wanted to make sure that if I'm going to give this God, I need to do my homework as well to find responsible parties to tithe into. And, I'll stop right there.
No, keep going. Yeah. Like, we're not stopping you. You speak on your heart.
And those things are the storehouse. Like my wife said, you know, back in the Old Testament, they gave more than just 10%. There are nonprofit organizations I like to sow seeds into. And sometimes those seeds, you know, extend that 10% that's going into the church. I don't mind doing it because I see that they are on the front lines, you know, like Hope Vibes. I'll just name a couple. Hope Vibes, the food pantry, shelters, homeless shelters. You know, I tithe into them because they're the hands and feet of God for areas that, you know, per se, I can't reach. But I see what they're doing. I've been a part of what they're doing, and I'm sowing into the cause. And that's for me. I think everyone should look into those organizations. What else should you tithe into?
And let me put a plug in for the churches that are out into the community, the churches that are being the hands and feet of Jesus. You know, again, I'm a preacher's kid. So growing up, we gave our tithes to the church because the churches were, you know, doing a lot in the community. They were, number one, I think they were being very transparent about where the money went.
That's good.
So, you know, you want to feed and pour into those places that invest in you, that are investing into the community, right? And so, you know, I, you know, the I don't have a problem with investing, or not investing, but tithing to my church, because I can see the tangible mm-hmm. benefits that are happening in the community through the way of the church. And so again, that nonprofit organizations, churches, you know, wherever you give, make sure you give freely, and make sure you give with a cheerful heart.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, and it's crazy because now I'm starting to, because I started my own business, I'm starting to notice, like, when you're taking that money, you start to notice different things. So a lot of people stay away from church because they say, oh, well, I don't want to give my money because I don't know, I don't trust them, or this, blase, blase. But at the end of the day, you would give your money for a rapper CD or some designer clothes. Like, you don't know these people.
Right.
Like, you don't know any of these people, but you give your money willingly.
Right.
Yeah.
And I tend to see, especially with me going into business, a lot of people are more likely to spend money if they don't know who you are. Like, I honestly have issues sometimes with people that know me that aren't willing to spend money with me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because of my prices. But they would spend money with somebody else that they don't even know, and their price could be a whole lot higher.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where I like, literally over this past week, I've like thought about it. I was like, yo, with church, you got to think about it. Some people don't like, I mean, and it's not to say that you're wrong, because we're born in a sinful nature, but I feel like some people don't like to see you grow in a sense. You know what I mean? Like, say I give my money to this person, and then my money is helping them gain.
Yeah.
So sometimes that inside you, that evil inside you, or that, you know what I'm saying, that sin inside you, like, man, I don't want to see them grow, not before me. So you don't want to give it.
But you also have to think about, Marquise, when they sow into you, they're sowing into you for service.
Yeah.
And the thing about the church is, that's why it's important to know what's going on. You want to see that service being rendered to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And the good thing is that it's a set amount, you know, 10%. So I think that's what you're saying is those are the facts, you know. People are tight fists when they know the individual that they're sowing into, but it helps when they know that they're sowing into a service, and that service is in respective to the tithe, that service is eternal.
Mm-hmm.
True.
It's God's work, you know.
And to talk a little bit more about that service, about, you know, take a little bit further into talking about stewardship, right? Because that's what it's really all about. You know, God's he requires of us the 10%, right? And that's such a small amount. He created us, so he owns everything, right? So everything belongs to him anyway.
So let me challenge you on that.
Okay.
It's a small amount until it's not.
Right.
True. Right. Very, very so well said.
How do you overcome? I'm joining the R&R team. How do you overcome when that tide isn't just $10 because you made $120, because you made $200? Mm-hmm. How do you overcome when you have to pay that $1,000 tide because you made $10,000? Ain't that right, Marquise?
Look,
we calling them out on this episode.
Right.
But no, seriously, how do you trust God with that amount when your service that you render is blessed?
I mean, again, it's a growth walk, right? It's a growth walk. It's a faith walk. And so if you're not comfortable with that, give what you're comfortable with. Again, it's back to your heart. Yeah. If you don't fully trust God and what he can do with that 10%, but you trust him with three, start with three. Do something where you're cheerful in it. What I'm saying? Like, if you're gonna be uncomfortable, or God, I really don't. He doesn't want it. He already knows your heart.
That's good.
You might as well keep it.
Yeah. And I honestly got a testimony from that, because everybody knows that I've been out of work for years. And it came down to a point where I probably got like $100 in a week, and it was time for tithing. And I'm like, man, I only got $100. Yeah. Like, what you want me to give from this? And so it was at one point I actually gave more than what I was supposed to. And like Dee Dee said, it's a growth walk and it's a faith walk. And it took a lot for God to actually tear me apart and say, okay, Keith, I need you to trust me. Mm-hmm. Like, I get that you in your head right now, but I need you to trust me. If you give, and no, I mean, because I knew I wanted to give, but at the same time, it was like, well, we got some bills to pay.
Right. Yeah.
But I was like, you know what, God, here you go. You know what I'm saying? This is what I felt like I need to give. And then literally,
yeah,
as soon as I gave, somebody walked up to me and said, bro, I had a gift card that somebody gave me. I felt like I needed to give this to you. And it was twice the amount that I gave.
Yeah.
And I was just like, it happens time after time.
And that's the other part of the scripture, right? He will open up the windows of heaven that you won't have room enough to receive, right? So, and growing up, my mom used to also say, kind of old school, you know, if you don't give it to God, something will come around. It will take it. It's going to take it. And I found in the seasons that I did tithe, that money stretched. I don't know how it stretched. Or then people would come and bless me. It would just be like, oh my God, okay, God. You know, there has to come a season in which you're like, you know what, God, I've tried it for this many years by myself on my own understanding. Let me trust you with it.
Awesome, awesome. So I want to ask you, Dee, and definitely the others, is the church the only acknowledged storehouse?
Mm.
That's a good one.
Well, so let's talk about
I'm here for all this answer.
Right.
So let's talk about the storehouse. Which many, I'm going to say the word right, theologians or
theologians.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They kind of talk about, some people see the storehouse as being the church, the storehouse as being an organization, the storehouse as being where you bring your tithes to. That's what it says, bring ye all the tithes to the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. I've read that the storehouse ultimately is heaven, right? Bring everything to me, up unto me in heaven, right? Into the kingdom.
That's good.
And so I don't think that the church is the only storehouse. Look at people who may not attend church, but they have an organization that they feel, you know, that they may love and that they may support. That is tithing. You may be bringing a tenth, or maybe, you know, giving to that is a piece of tithing. And it's not just tithing, right? It can be your time, it can be your talent. Mm-hmm. That the tithing is a piece of it, how we give back unto God. So no, I don't think the church is the only storehouse.
And I look at it as, you know, I know plenty of people, even big name drug dealers, they come, they feed the homeless, you know, they give out turkeys on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
They do bike drives before school starts. You know, they pour into communities, and, you know, rappers do the same. And God, his grace, his love, his favor, it falls on the just and the unjust. Yeah. But we have to understand that when we're talking about the tithe, and we're doing more than just pouring into our current situation, our today, our physical form. We're sending, as the old folks would say, we're sending up our timber.
Little timber.
You know, sending up our timber every day. Yeah, I know, right? But no, we've got a heavenly home that we want to look forward to. So it's not just pleasing to man. We don't do it for show. Mm-hmm. And we are to do it with a cheering heart, but it's actually for a spiritual home. You know, we do it to please our Father, because we believe that the tithe is just that important. So giving with a cheerful heart, like you said, giving to various storehouses, and it's about your faith. I mean, like Deandra said, not everyone is in the church, but they're sowing into just causes, and believe it or not, that is favor in the sight of the Lord.
Yeah. I mean, you know, our ability to acquire wealth, right? Our skill, our gift, our talent, our time was given by the Creator.
Yeah.
So again, it's simple. He just wants a 10. But I'll take it even further. Let's talk about the heart, right? So we're giving God our 10. That's the commandment. That's the obedience part, right? But let's talk about the sacrifice. What are you doing with the 90% that he leaves you with? Right?
That's good.
Because let's talk about that. Are you being a good steward with the 90%? What are you doing with it? Are you paying your bills on time? Are you helping others? Are you, you know, again, being good stewards? Are you being transparent about the monies, you know, the 90%? It's about the heart.
And, you know, whereas Dee Dee and I, we see things eye to eye. There are some things, you know, we don't see eye to eye about tithing. Like, for instance, I believe, and I was brought up to believe in first fruits. And first fruits are just as in Genesis with Cain and Abel, my first fruit is, you know, the first of my harvest. So when I get that new job, mm-hmm. I'm given a sacramental special seed to the entities of choice, be it the church, an organization of sorts, because I feel led and that's what God tells me to do. And that's before mm-hmm. it hits this household, because I know once it hits this household, it's going to be uber beneficial, but mm-hmm. you know.
No, and I believe it. I mean, I believe that too. I believe in first fruits.
You believe that about me though?
Look at this healing. Right here. Look at this. He's connecting and everything.
Yeah. Typical married couple, but yeah. And I know she does.
And this is the one thing that we do agree on, but you know, growing up, my father is a very conservative pastor, missionary, Baptist church, preaching, you know, he did the hooping, the holler and all that. Mm. We didn't talk about seeds. We talked about tithes. I mean, you know, the words are interchangeably, right? But we talked about tithing. We talked about giving to the church. We didn't do a special offerings, all these special offerings. You're going to give, you give. Now we had the building funds and all these other things, but we didn't have like, oh, you know, some churches, I need a seed. I need you to bring up here. Oh, you know, I'm feeling that somebody has $1,000 or blah, blah, blah. And it's so funny because I didn't want to get into this, but you know, there's some that talk that mm-hmm. they have this prosperity type of ministry. Mm-hmm. And I don't really believe I believe in prosperity. Don't get me wrong. But that whole prosperity
giving.
If you give this, then you're gonna get this.
Yeah, or stand in line. Unless I want all of my people who have, you know, over $1,000.
Say it.
I know. I want $1,000 line over here. You know, I don't believe. I don't believe when we get to the kingdom, he's gonna ask you, you know, how many people made.
Did you get in that line?
So, yeah. No, there won't be any lines. It'll be a line to the kingdom, and to say, you know. Well, my good and faithful servant, come on in. Or those that don't get in, you're going to hell. That's it, just it. It's not any additional lines. It doesn't segregate us. It doesn't. No, there's one God. There's one word. There's one Bible. See, I'm going in.
She's preaching that. She's going to start hooping like a dance.
Oh, you going to get in trouble after this Zoom call. But now that's honestly, that's one of the biggest things that keeps people that like me, of course, like that's what kept me away from the church, because I didn't understand prosperity preaching.
Yeah.
I thought that was in every church. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Because you go to a couple churches here, there, and you got three or four bowls getting passed around in one night, in one morning. And so I'm like, hold on. Like I just gave when I first got here, or I gave in Sunday school.
Right.
But then I gave when I get
no more money.
Right. So I'm spreading my $4 throughout this whole day. You get a dollar in Sunday school. You get a dollar when we do the first bowl pass around. Then we got to get up and walk around and get this money. Yeah. And then you got the bowl that's passed right before you leave.
Yeah. So, you know, we were talking a few minutes ago about that prosperity preaching and how, you know, churches continuously ask for more. Mm-hmm. I think you were saying when we were recording of how you want to kind of talk a little bit
absolutely.
About that?
Absolutely. This is one of the more painful conversations about this, but I came from that. I mean, and when I say I came from that, I came from a mega church, and that was the gesture. And to mm-hmm. come back before people after taking up a collection, have to come back before people because after you give the numbers over, that's not enough. Hey, we can do better than that. We can do better right. than that. And the whole right. separation, even when it came down to tithing, marching and showcasing tithing and how the Bible talks about when you give the tithe, you're not to give it with gloatingly, right. for lack of a right. better term. You're supposed to give it with a pure heart
yeah.
And sow it. But we had lines where you marched around and gave your tithe. And while asking, when asking, why did you have people? Because I had a duty to people that are coming up to me as the lead deacon, asking, why are we being forced? And you ask that right. question, and right. they're like, well, as in our culture, we tend to do things based on competition.
That's good. That's
and
good.
When they see
yeah.
wow. wow, wow.
And my literally, God. As some people stood up and gave their tithes, people you wouldn't believe, I need an envelope. I need an envelope.
Right.
They
right.
hopped in the line and they gave their tithes. And, you know, I just shook my head. I shook my head and I used to pray, God, please deliver me from this, because mm-hmm. I don't believe that this is where you wanted the tithe to be. This is what you wanted the tithe to be, a showcase.
That's right. a good right. point. Like, I don't think people think about that, you know, that you have to stay there. You know, if your heart is like, feels contrary to what's going on, then you should be talking to God about that, because as a part, tithing is a part of your relationship with God. So it shouldn't be an issue to be like, all right, God, is this right? Or is this okay? Like, should I continue to tithe into this house, or should I be taking my tithe somewhere else? Because their heart, their posture is not really pointed towards right. you versus, like you said, competition.
Yeah.
You know, I was in I attended a training, a couple of years ago, and this guy talked about tithing and stewardship, and I don't remember his name, but he did this, this like skit about the different types of people that give, right? And so he said, you know, you had the, you know, and this is kind of tying into what you said, Ariel, about giving with a cheerful heart, but he's like, you know, you have one giver who, had talked to God. They knew exactly what they're giving. They had their envelope ready, wrote out when they got to church, and that's what they put in the offering bucket, right? Then you had the next type of giver. You know, they had talked about what they wanted to give. They didn't have an envelope, but they knew what they were going to give when they got to church. But then God laid something was said, a worship song, or the pastor said something, and God laid it on their heart to give extra, to give more, right? And so they put that into the offering. Then you have another person who didn't come prepared. God really didn't lay anything on their heart, but they're like, oh, okay, so I know I got to get this 10%. Let me just throw it in here, you know? And then you got the other one like, you know what? I don't have it. I'm not giving today, but God, I'll hit you up next Sunday. Mm. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you know, out of all the four different types of scenarios, you know, you guys would probably think the person that's like, you know what, I don't have it. I'll hit you up next week. But you know, and probably like that's bad, right? That's not right. the right. That's not the right heart, right? Mm-hmm. But actually, he said, and this is what his thoughts were. He was like, that's not, you know, God doesn't look down on him for that
mm-hmm.
because God knows his heart. And that he didn't have to give that Sunday, but he was going to give next week, right? We're going to go on the honest spot. But he was going to give next week. He may have not come prepared. He, you know, something may have laid it on his heart. He just didn't have it to give, right? So when you talk about tithing, God knows your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then you make sure that you talk to God about mm-hmm. what you want to give.
Right.
That's another yeah. thing too. Like you said, you know, he wants you to give with a cheerful heart. But he wants you to talk to him about what to give. Will and I, we talk to each other, like, you know, God, you know, babe, God bless, laid it on my heart that we should give this out of our first fruits. You know, the church we attend at New Year's Eve, that is our first fruits offering. And I'm like, babe, this is what I want us to give, you know? And we would say, you know what, let's both pray about it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make sure we're in agreement about what we want to give,
that's
right?
Important.
That's very important. And notice in our conversation about that, we never talk about, well, this is what we're bringing in. This is what my check is going to be. No, 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 no,
no.
We don't even think about the money that, no, we're going to say, we're going to be in agreement. This is what we're going to give. We already know, God knows what we're bringing in, mm-hmm. but we have to be in agreement with what we're going to give. We have to pray about what we're going to give. Mm-hmm. It goes back to the heart.
Okay. So as we're talking about giving, mm-hmm. And I know we kind of said it within the conversation thus far. So we have tithing and then we have offering. Mm-hmm. Can you guys explain the difference between the two?
Well, as stated, the tithing is the tenth. Mm-hmm. Anything over that, anything to like the building fund or you know, that's an offering. If I want to go and put some in somebody's hand after church, guess what? That's an offering. So is it required? You have to answer that for yourself. Mm-hmm. If I've been obedient with the tithe, you know, dead silence. You see what I'm saying?
Right,
dead
right.
silence. If I've been obedient with the tithe, it's up to me to give more towards an offering, not to be, and really not to be persuaded to do so. Go ahead.
So I think this is kind of deeper a little bit. Because I was you know, raised that you always had an offering.
Mm-hmm.
No?
That's how I was raised.
Yeah, you always had an offering. You're going to give your tithes, right? That's what we're obligated to do. That's what God requires of us. But you always bring your offering. You know, you always something over and above. And it doesn't matter how much it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
50 cent, a dollar, $5, right. 20. Right. It doesn't matter. It's over and above.
So, Keith, that's where that dollar come in.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
So, yeah. So, yeah. That's a good question.
Yeah.
Good
question. Great question.
But I want to touch on something real quick, kind of going back, and you were talking about giving is about the heart. Like when you guys were talking about that, I thought about, I don't remember exactly what book it's in, but it's in the Gospels where they were collecting offering, and there was a man that gave all his money, but then there was a woman that gave like equivalent to 3 pennies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's all she had.
And the disciples was like, oh, she ain't gave nothing. She ain't gave nothing. But God was like, it's not about what she gave. It's about her heart.
There you go.
So, to me, it's not about how much you give. It's, number one, are you in agreement and aligned with what God told you to give? And then, are you giving it with a cheerful heart? Or are you just like, I gotta give it up here.
Period.
Yeah.
Here.
That's it.
But let me clarify that. So yeah, that's a great story. The story of the widower, the poor widower, the widow woman.
Yeah.
That she gave all she had, and it was about the heart and how God blessed her even the more, right? Mm-hmm. And so yes, it's about the heart. But I want to make sure, since we're talking about tithing, it is about what you give, right? Mm-hmm. Getting to that 10%, because the tithing is a 10th. Mm-hmm. But in with that, it's about your heart.
Right.
So
right.
You see what I'm saying? I mean, the offering is over and above, but the tithing, it is the 10th. Mm. You know, people try to say, well, you know, it'll be okay. It can't be okay for years when you know what's right and what's required. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like when you know better, you do better. Yeah. Or you should want to do better. And so I think, you know, again, it, over the years, it's just had a bad or negative connotation.
Right.
And I think for those of us who are led, who are of the faith, who are, you know, we know the word, right? We live the word. We have an obligation to help teach those about God's word and what it says, right? You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. The word is the word. So the tithe is the tenth. And I would just say, you know, grow to it. There are levels to this.
Yeah.
Literally, there are levels to the growth into your faith walk with God. You know, you have the babes in Christ. We all know the levels to the walk, but there's levels to it. And so give yourself grace. Every season is not the same. You'll have seasons of harvest where you're bearing nothing but fruit every single day. God is just the windows. Everything's plentiful. And then there are seasons where, you know what? There's nothing coming in. The pandemic, right? You had a lot of people out of work.
Right.
A lot of people on unemployment. And so you have to give yourself grace. And God knows where you are, right? Yeah. If you go to, again, the different types of people that in that story, I was given, you know, the different type of people is about your heart. You know, if you don't have it to give, he knows.
Should they have tied on that unemployment? No, don't answer that.
PPP loans?
But I think like when you say from the heart, the way I had actually gotten better at like giving to the church, it was, and it's crazy because the way I started to understand my heart, it was by giving to a homeless person. Mm-hmm. Like typically they'd be at stoplights and stuff like that. And I know me and my wife had talked about it one time, and I kind of like, I usually roll around with a couple dollars in my car just so I can give out. But a lot of times we don't want to give to certain people because we're like, dad, what are they going to do with the money?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And God kind of checked me on that. And he was like, I don't care what they do with the money. Like, whatever they do with the money is on them.
Exactly.
Like, if I gave you, and like me and my wife was talking, and I told her, I was like, look, whatever your first decision was, that's what you go with. If you got a second think it, then don't do it. And so, like, whenever, if I pull up and my first instinct is, hey, where's my money at? Then I'm going with that because that's what I need to do. Now, whatever they do with the money after that, that's on them.
Right.
Like, if they decide to blow it or go do evil with it, that's on them. I did what I felt God told me to do because the spirit resides in us. So I kind of like, once I started getting into tithing at church, I was like, yo, my first instinct, if it says, hey, get his 50 right now. You know what I'm saying? Like and I didn't second think it to be like, dang, well, I got a bill coming out this week. It was just, I didn't think anything else but what I needed to give. And that kind of helped me with that situation. I was just like, you know what? I tell people, if you got a second think it, don't do it.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's really, really good because, you know, in listening to you, I'm thinking about the fact that how the enemy can sneak in so fast that the cheerful heart becomes judgmental, right? What are they going to do with it? I don't know. No, it's not for us to worry about that. We have to do what God asks us of us to do and to give with a cheerful heart.
So but I challenge that, Marquise, because I've had that, what I call that evil thought. You know, we want to call it the enemy. I call it enemy, that thought that's inside of me.
Yeah.
That was like, you know what, I'm not going to give. But then I second thought it. You know, God, as good as you've been to me.
Yeah.
So you know, if the second thought is a positive thought, that's the only thing that I would say. If the second thought is the positive thought, is the goodness of what God has done for you, then yeah, listen to it. Otherwise.
Yeah.
You
know. Yeah.
That makes sense too.
So let's switch directions on our questions for a second. So when it comes to the church, you know, we've heard a lot of, you know, news stories that come out about, you know, misuse of funds and everything. Should the church be required to show where their funds are going that come in?
Here's what I'll say. If the church told you, if you suspected the church of misallocation of funds, and the church told you where it was going, would you believe the church?
That's a good question.
Very good question.
Very good question, because you still have to have faith in, well, that's, it goes back to what we were saying before.
Exactly.
Your faith should be in what God is going to do with the money, not what the church is doing. So,
and if there is evidence, guess what? God
didn't
call us to be unwise in our giving.
Right.
So,
right.
Sometimes we need to give to a cause that's greater than, you know, perhaps the cause that we're currently giving. We find other places to give. We fellowship with another church. That is the biggest, distractor of the saints when funds are misallocated, kingdom funds are misallocated.
Yeah.
And I can go into that, and I will, but it looks like you got something on your heart.
I mean, you know, I'll say this. So the church, like any other organization, has an obligation to givers to be transparent. I think they have an obligation to be transparent about where the money is going. You know, growing up, you know, they used to have conferences or where all the people, the leaders of the church would come and they would do, you know, show the budgets and things like that and where the money's going. And now we have the church where they do it once a year, or they have it on their website. They'll show the pie charts, different, you know, different ways mm-hmm. of how they are showing where the money is going. And I think that that is the right thing to do. Right. Mm-hmm. I think there's an obligation to show people they're giving their money, they're giving their time, they're giving their talent. I don't think it's a huge thing for the churches to do, is to be transparent, to show them where their money's going. Right. I do question certain organizations as well as churches is when they have a problem with being transparent. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that they're misallocating. It's just, you know, I don't know what's going on. And don't kind of want to know, but I just think that I have a problem when, you know, they don't do it right. Because why not show them?
I mean, even in the word, it's, you know, yeah. it reflects, you know, will a man rob God? Yeah, you rob me.
Yeah.
And tithes and offerings.
Yeah. So it's happening. But I think if you can be transparent, that cuts out a lot of the assumption, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to missions. You know, tithing can help to open up the windows of heaven for churches as well, right? When people see that their money is going out, it's helping the needy and not the greedy. You know,
that's right.
I mean, you know, that causes it pulls on a man or woman's heartstrings to want to give more, right? So I think, you know, being transparency is key.
That's good.
Yeah, I think with that transparency, like you said, you'll be able to see what's going on. Like you yeah. will see that I have other streams of income versus yeah. just the church. Like if right. I write a book, I got money from my book.
Yeah.
I got other things that I'm doing, so I can actually show y'all that I'm not using the money that you give.
Yeah.
Like I got to get paid too, but I'm not using y'all money. I'm using
no,
exactly. money from other things. But I think the other big thing is too, like people are like, I'm not about to go ask the pastor, let me see your money. You know what I'm saying? Like, where your money going?
Right, right,
yeah.
Right.
So that's a big thing too. It's like, I don't think people feel comfortable enough to actually ask.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, they don't, because of the negative connotation that it has brought over the years to churches and money. Right. But I do think that, again, the church has an obligation to show people, to tell people where the money is going.
Yeah, so I'd just like to say the comments expressed are those of Will Indeed Henry and Will Indeed yeah. Henry's only, not only. That of Religion X Relationship.
No.
So I just want to keep saying that, because how we govern our house is what's for our house.
Right,
and that's a very good point.
You know, and every church, when we say giving to the church in your question, Ariel, not every church is a bad church. No. Not every church. But unfortunately, the ones that lose the trust of the people are the ones that seem to represent right. the kingdom.
Unfortunately, yeah. Right. But I think that's a part of the problems that, you know, people are looking for a reason
exactly.
to
yeah.
not go or to trust. Or even give it a chance. And because that gets put out there so much, it has given the church a bad rep financially when it's so much bigger than that.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, but you know, we're called to try to spirit by the spirit of the church right. without that trying.
Right.
So
right.
do yeah. your homework.
All right, y'all. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and wrap this up for now. We are going to do a bonus episode with Will and Dee Dee. So we hope you guys will join us for that. But in the meantime, we will ask you guys this. Do you feel that the church is transparent about their tithes and offerings? If you feel that they should be, other than what we've just said now, which brought up a great point. Your trust should be in God and what he's doing. And then if you feel like there's some financial information that should be provided, what information is it that you need that would make you change your mind or give church a chance? Or what is it that you feel that you need financially from the church that they're not giving to you? But then also reconsider, where does your faith lie?
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you all for having us, by the way.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Right.
Thank Great. You guys. So once again, check us out on Facebook, Relationship X Religion. Also check us out on IG, Relationship X Religion, website relationshipxreligion.com. And we will guys see you on the bonus episode.
And as we always say, we want you to be persuaded by religion, but fully convinced with the relationship with God. And this is Relationship X Religion Podcast.